Welcome to Women in Public Safety, where real life events meets raw truth. I'm Harriet, your host, and I'm also a state parole officer dedicated to unraveling human complexities through true life cases that we will call Case Chronicles. So join me weekly as we explore gripping narratives from the front lines of law enforcement and social services. From triumph to despair, we will uncover resilience, vulnerability, and of course, justice. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on social media for the latest episodes and join the movement for change. Hello, everybody. This is Harriet Westmer with the Women in Public Safety podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss topics relating to challenges and triumphs for women who work in the public safety and human services field. I'm your host today, Harriet Westmore. I want to say welcome. And if you have not already, I would like for you to hit that share and subscribe to the YouTube channel so that we can get the algorithm up and get more content out there to you. So today I want to do a case chronicle. It's not going to be very long and it's not going to be very in detail. It's just a generalization of the thing that I can remember and is wanted to kind of share with you. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody this is a no drama free platform. I welcome all types of comments, but please be respectful in your comments and in your feedback. I really appreciate it. We are all adults and we can have an open conversation and we can look at things a different perspective. But I just ask that everybody would be respectful of the podcast and the platform. So let's talk about first of three case chronicles for the month of April. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to talk about? I don't have a specific case that I'm working on now or have worked on that is really interesting to talk about. So I was thinking about the time when I was a records clerk and I worked for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police. I used to live in Charlotte back in the late 80s and into the mid 90s. So it was during that time, I would say it was about, maybe between 94 and 95 before I relocated to Ohio, where I'm originally from and where my family is. I remember distinctly, it was during the Final Four. That was one of the times when the Final Four came to Charlotte. And it was also the time when the city of Charlotte was under siege. And while I said that, because they were experiencing at the time, didn't understand and didn't know at the time, but found, you know, come to find out that they were dealing with a serial killer. It was like every other time, every other day or so, every few days, we would get cases where a female body would end up, you know, or will be found in various areas of the city. And the profile would be young Black women that were showing up, were found either missing, and if they were found, they were already found deceased. And so at first, one or two, there wasn't a connection there. But as the investigation started going on and the police investigators were doing more investigation of these homicides, they came to grips that it was actually a serial killer. And how does that affect me? Well, like I said, I was working at the department at the time. And I just remember the atmosphere of, this going into work, into the department, and even the city itself. The city was like, it was like this tense thickness of tensity and of fear among the city of Charlotte. And I was a single mom. My daughter was young at the time, and she was going into daycare. And so I would, you know, I worked the 3 to 11 shift. That was my permanent second shift. So it was kind of like, it was kind of frightening because you didn't know. It could have been this person just jump out of, you know, out of random and just pick you as a female. You're kind of, you know, you're afraid. As the investigation went on, they finally had a suspect. And the suspect, he was an actual, there was a connection to these women, to the suspect, because he was a manager, if you are listening on there and you remember who I'm talking about, which I will, you know, talk about in a minute. We say who it was in a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mom, but I think he was a manager at Bojangles fast food restaurant, chicken in restaurant. I miss Bojangles, by the way, because I just love their sweet tea. But anyway, but we have something equivalent, which is Popeye's chicken. But I kind of like Bojangles. I don't know. But anyway, I digress. And I think the connection was he knew these, they were either his co-workers or, you know, female friends that he knew or he would befriend. And came out to be his, I mean, he was the, not the first, but one of the, it was unusual because he was a black male. And his name was Henry Lewis Wallace. And this guy was, I just recall the atmosphere of this whole city, of the city. And it was during the, I may have it mixed up. I'm not sure if it was during the Final Four. I know the Final Four was there. I don't know if it was in 93, 94 or 94, 95. But I just remember the intensity of how the city was. And I remember that, you know, coming to work and getting out of work because it's dark. And, you know, I'm just, you know, thinking, oh, my God, what if this person, you know, just grabbed me or whatever and I'm trying to get home. But also what really was baffling to me was one of his victims was a young lady that went to the church that I attend. And so that was very sad. I can't recall the connection. I don't know if they were co-workers or he was just a friend. He befriended her or they knew each other or whatever. But he was strangling and kill him. And you know, one of the things I can say that it was a quick turnaround. By the time they found out who it was and he was charged and prosecuted and was sentenced, you know, I think if it wasn't life without possibility of parole, I think he was sentenced to death. I think North Carolina is a capital state. I can recall if anybody can, you know, confirm or correct me if I'm wrong. But that I thought that was the quickest turnaround and do justice for this person. But I just remember that it was just a eerie, you just felt, no, the whole city, and it's like this, like the city under siege. And the weather, I remember, because it was, as a matter of fact, it might have been around about this time of year, into the spring, into the summer. And I just remember it was just very warm. It was very hot for the springtime down there in North Carolina. That's one of the things that I was just thinking about. I was like, wow. But the parallel, it's he kind of sort of like another killer that we had in the Cleveland area, which was Anthony Sowell. Only difference were the victims. They weren't, I mean, what we call off the streets or anything like that. I believe these were with him and Wallace and connecting to the victims that he chose were people that he actually knew and were friends with or worked with. Sowell was just, you know, he was just a monster. In terms of, you know, he would think that the women, choice of women that he picked, nobody would really care about. I mean, not thinking that these women did have families, whether they were on the streets or, you know, or addicts or whatever, they still have families that were looking for them. But as did the, you know, women and victims of Wallace. So that's my case chronicles. If anybody knows any more about this case or lived in Charlotte at that time, I really would like to hear your feedback, especially if you were in Charlotte or, you know, and remember that time, that era, and how did you feel about it? And what was your feedback as far as with the police? How did the police handle it? I know there were a lot of, you know, there's always going to be a lot of criticism about the and how it was handled and all of that. But, you know, I just want to hear your feedback and, you know, your perspective of during that time, because I remember it very well. It was just, it was a scary time. And it was, you know, once they had him in custody and going, you know, off the streets, I think it was like a whole collective side of the city had the whole collective side of relief. and, you know, people were starting to feel a little more comfortable, especially women, of going back out and being out. Because during the time before they caught him, it was very tense and very, you know, scary, to be honest. So, all right. So, like I said, this was a short podcast this week of Case Chronicles. I hope everybody stays safe. And please, I know tomorrow is the big solar day of looking at the total eclipse. Please be safe. I can't stress it enough. A lot of people, especially we're having an influx of people that are coming from all over here in our state to try, you know, to witness this event. So it's been advised that, you know, do not go out unless you absolutely have to. So, and get your safety glasses. Do not look at the sun. Try to look at the sun or the X without any type of eye protection, because, you know, that would be detrimental to your eyesight. So please hit that like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, if you have a story, a case chronicle, I am pleading, I am asking, I ask every week, do not be shy. If you have a story or an experience that you would like to share with the audience in social service work, in your work in healthcare, community service, corrections. There's plenty of stories. I know you guys have stories out here on your jobs of stuff that you just cannot make up. This stuff, I mean, you think this is TV, but it's not. It's reality. Please hit me up by email at publicsafetybywomen@gmail.com. Just tell me that you're interested. I will send you a link for us to meet and talk about what about your story. And if you would like to be a guest and tell your own story, or if you would like me to talk to about your story, and which, you know, I would keep everything, we ask that everything is kind of on the general terms. We don't want a particular co-workers' names or anything like that, but just, you know, keep it in a general term. But we want to get the story out there and get the case chronicle out there so that people would be interested in understand exactly what we do as servants, what we have to go through, you know, on a daily. So don't be scared. Don't be shy. Please. I'm sure there are plenty, plenty stories out there that or experiences that you have that people would be interested in hearing about. So again, email me at publicsafetybywomen@gmail.com. And we will get together and we'll talk about what you have to share. All right. With that being said, thank you once again, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.